Good morning once again, everybody.
Morning.
As James would say, hallelujah. It's contagious. Well. We serve a big God.
Amen.
Amen. A very big God. And I will look at each one of you this morning, whether I know your name or know a lot about you or a little about you, and I will just have to tell you that I love you because God loves you. And when I say that, I mean that, and those of you who know me know that that's truth. And we do have a big God. And it's funny how when I get an opportunity to speak, and I know it happens all the time, but it's just, this is my moment, so I'm going to share it, but it happens all the time, but when I get an opportunity to speak, and then people, as they share, you know, come up and share on the microphone, it's directly relevant to what I'm about to share, and I'm just going, okay, all right, Lord, all right. So this message is for the four of you that Barb spoke about, and whoever else will receive it. And Melissa is dead on that you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And we are to cherish today. There's recently been a death, and they're my family. Missy Sedlicek and her father passed away on Friday. And that's hard. That's very hard. You can see I'm getting emotional because though he is with the Lord, and that is the hope within us, and that we know we get to see him again. No death wears your sting, right? But that family definitely is, they're mourning right now. And it's painful. And so, matter of fact, I'm going to take a moment just to lift them up. And if you guys would now and throughout your week and the rest of your days, if you would lift them up. But right now, if you'll just agree with me, Father, we come before your throne, God, your throne of grace and your throne of mercy, Lord Jesus. And God, we thank you, Lord, for the hope and the promise that we will get to see Brother Mike again one day very soon. And that is very, very, very delightful to our hearts, God. And for the time, Lord, we pray for the for Missy and Katie and Donna, God, and the rest of the family who are dealing with the emotions and the loss of their dear loved one, God. We lift them before your throne right now, God, and we just pray that morning, and we're excited for the moment when it will turn to joy, God, and that they can rest assured, Father, that they will be able to see him again when they see you, Lord, and that, Father, that what the enemy is now attempting to use for evil, you've already got it mapped out for good, and I thank you for that, Lord, that your peace is with them, God. Your joy is with them. Your hope is with them, Father. And so we just pray in abundance all of those things now together in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Amen. All right. How you guys doing? Good. That makes 89 of us. I did count. It's a habit I have. I didn't see you though, so 90. Sorry, you were up there right in front of me. What if we walked in complete freedom? What if we carried ourselves as brothers and sisters, as children of Christ, in a way, we carried ourselves in a way that no matter what comes at us, it's already defeated, it's already won. What if we look at a situation instead of focusing on the problem, the trial, the temptation, we focus on the Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ? What if? I say what if because though it's we've heard it so many times, and maybe to some of us this is a brand new what if, a brand new understanding, and that's great. But in addressing what Sister Barb shared with us through the obedience of the Lord, or to obedience of the Lord, oftentimes we feel trapped and we're in that moment and life happens, doesn't it? Life happens. Life will not stop happening. There will be a day that life as we know it will stop happening. But right now, life will not stop on our demand. The enemy, until his final day, his day of judgment, will continue to roam the earth looking to devour, as the word says. He will continue to spread his lies, his darkness, or attempt to. He will continue to attempt to distort the truth of God, to distort the reality of the Word of God by getting us to look at the here and now and not with eyes of faith. And until that day comes where his final judgment rests, he will continue and continue to do that. But what if we walk in a way that it doesn't matter, that it's already defeated, dealt with, it's already banished? What if? I want to go to Colossians. What if? What if? Colossians is in the latter portion of your Bible. I go like this. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. Colossians 1:13. So right now we're going to eat popcorn. Corn. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. One more time. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through Jesus Christ's blood and forgiveness of sins. We're free. If we go to, not bad. If we go to Romans, and there it will talk about, actually, I'm going to read that on this one. I'm going to talk about being free, because I am so free, it's funny, it's ridiculous, kind of how you mentioned, Nicholas. It's silly. We're so free, I'm so free, it's a joke, because yet it's so serious, because, and we all are, we all share in that freedom, and in Romans, which I will turn there right now, chapter 7, Acts Romans, chapter 7. Shame on me, but I haven't used a paper Bible in quite some time. I'm so used to this iPad, but Romans 7. Okay. Here we go. How's everybody doing? We're having fun. You're waiting? But how you doing? Good. That's good. We're getting there. Got to read it. Got to find where he wants me to share. Okay. He wants me to share at, I'll just start reading in verse 13. Verse 14. 13, but how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. Romans 7:13. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death. So we can see pardon me here, so that we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commandments for its own evil purposes. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I'm in a different translation, so bear with me. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. If I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. So just to clarify here, there's a great point of he says here in 17, I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I think what he's recognizing is the fleshly nature that we all have. And by no means is he using it as a scapegoat or an excuse to act sinful and to give in. He's not doing that. He's clarifying here that he has a fleshly side to him, and he's saying that what he's really doing is saying, look, that's not even me, okay? I'm renewed in Christ Jesus, and that blood that he shed washes me clean. I'm a brand new person, and so that's not even who I am. So I'm not even going to acknowledge that in the way of taking it upon as a signifying who I am. I'm separating it for what it is, and it's a sinful nature. It's the fleshly nature. He goes on in 18 to say, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. I'm sorry, I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. But if I do what I don't want to do, that's a lot of do, I just got to say. I know that's just like me to say that, but that is a whole lot of do. So, but if I do what I don't want to do, tongue twister, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I've discovered this principle in life that when I do what is right, when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Can anybody in here agree with that? You recognize it? I've got somebody right now that is attempting to quit smoking cigarettes, a brother in Christ. And it's like this, up and down, up and, I'm doing so good. Oh, yes, I got 2 days. Oh, anybody familiar with that? Anything? I mean, it's like, I'm never going to do it again. I'm not going to do it. Matter of fact, I'm going to do this. I'm going to wake up every day, and I'm going to this, and I'm going to that. And I've shared on this before. Pastor Mike has shared on this before. But it really, I don't think we can say it enough, that it's very clear in the scriptures that you do exactly the opposite of what you intend or don't intend to do because you're the one trying to do it. Because you're putting all of your trust, your effort, and your eggs in your own basket. So what if, like a few of you have heard me say over the past several weeks, what if instead of focusing on I'm never going to smoke again, when those urges come, which they will, right? They're not just going to stop coming. What if, and I do not smoke, by the way. I've been free from cigarettes for 7 years. Thank you, Lord. And I do not think, I want to be clear that I understand it, just it is what it is. And for those who smoke or struggle with it or whatever, you know what? I'll be glad to pray for you, but by no means does it make you less of a person or, you know, I want to be very clear. It's a nasty habit, but it's an addiction, but I believe that it does not disqualify us, if you will. I want to be clear. But what if instead of every time those temptations come, the draw on the whatever it is, a TV show, a food, a cigarette, whatever it may be, what if every time, rather than, no, I'm not going to do it, oh, please, oh, no, Lord, please, I can't, you know, or you flick it on or you eat it or whatever it is, because there's a million different things that come at us according to who we are. And what if instead we just begin to focus on Jesus and just begin to praise our Lord and just begin to say, thank you, Lord Jesus? What if the atmosphere and our cry of our heart is continually, thank you, Lord. I thank you that I am free from that in Jesus' name. And that is not who I am. I mean, what if? What if? Because I've caught myself a lot of times going, no, I can't do that. I can't think that. I can't look at that. And I'm giving more and more play, more playing field to the problem than I am to the solution, essentially. And I believe that's what he's sharing here, is he's saying, I'm focused, oh, I can't do that. And the fact is, when I determine, whatever it may be, when I determine in my heart that I will never do this or I will always do that, what's going to happen? The exact opposite, eventually. And why is that? Because we on our own do not have what it takes. It is Christ Jesus, the hope in us, that has freed us. And when he died, and then he rose again, and he defeated death, and he defeated sin, and all of those things were gone. The lies were removed once and for all. It says in the scriptures, for everybody, that all, he defeated all for everyone. No one is not included in that. That we're then to walk it out. So what if we see ourselves as Christ, or God sees us through Christ Jesus? What if? What if? Back to 21, chapter 7, Romans. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank God. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So now, next chapter. So now there's no condemnation. I am sure most of us are familiar with this. So now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature, so God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like ours, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. And those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. The scripture in Philippians says that we're to rejoice in the Lord always. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And it goes on to tell us that we're to meditate on things that are just and pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy. What if? What if I begin to speak to my situation as God sees it, as though it's already defeated, not to give any recognition or any play to the persisting problem, temptation, the lies, if you will. And rather, I choose, and not just in the moments where I'm feeling pressured or pulled on by the weight of the world, but at all times, I choose to praise our Lord Jesus Christ and to thank him. And I begin to speak out of my mouth how he would want me to speak, how he sees us. Again, I begin to say, thank you that I am free from that. Thank you that that's not even who I am. Thank you that I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. Because we are so free, it's ridiculous. We are so free, it's ridiculous. How often do we lay that aside? And I'm not here to condemn because I'm talking. I mean, this is, if I'm preaching, it means I'm dealing with it. I've been there, I'm doing it. What, you know, I'm here to share, to sharpen, to give praise to God because he's showing me it and I'm starting to believe it. I'm starting to believe that I'm free. I'm starting to believe in it, and it's starting to freak me out. It is. It's starting to not make sense to my brain. What if? Because it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Because we begin to look with our eye of faith that pleases God. And we simply speak what is, regardless of what it looks like right here and right now, because this is a vapor. This thing we're in right now, it's a very important vapor, I believe. But it's a vapor. And as some of you have discovered, that just that, it is a vapor. Life comes and life goes. Death is a very sure reminder of that. This life comes and this life goes. But on to the glorious life, the real life, as the New Living Translation describes it, the real life. But what if, like in Genesis, where was that, David, chapter 3? What if, like in Genesis, where towards the end of 2. What if, like in Genesis 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, birds of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not a helper found comparable to him. But you see what God did. God said, okay, Adam, I've created these things. Now you're naming them. You're going to speak what they are. You're going to speak that life into them. He gave man that job, the imagination, the mind, the spirit. He gave us the ability to speak life into, because of Adam, dogs are dogs and cows are cows and monkeys are monkeys and all that fun stuff. Because he saw that, he spoke that. How did he come up with all his names though? Dave and I were talking about this, like, you imagine if I was the one doing it, it'd be like, we would be having waffles for pets. Waffle, Barfingnugel. I mean, really, I don't think God would give me that one. I don't think so. Not that one. I think he would have trust me with a lot, but not that one. I would have too much fun and we'd be all messed up. But the point is that he gave Adam this, he formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call them. And whatever Adam called them, That's what they were. And we have that same opportunity, that same authority, that same ability every day of our lives. And we speak to a situation and we speak whatever it may be, whatever, how serious it looks or however, whatever it is. And he gives us that creative ability to speak, you know, the Proverbs 18:21. Hey, Justin, Proverbs 18:21. Nope. The mouth, life and death. Can I share? Okay, yeah. So Justin has about a book about this thick of nothing but Proverbs 18:21 when he used to, you know, what do I say? That was his, our way of getting, yeah, it was writing that scripture. Some people think it's terrible. I don't, but that's okay. Because why? Because he knows the scripture now, even though right now he may not, but I bet you if you thought about it for a sec, you do. But he wrote it literally, I don't know how many times. Let's just say a lot. And it was, you know, when his words, he would choose, you know, let's say a poor choice of words. That's what we would read, have him write. And it got to the point where he just sleeping writing it. Remember, for out of the mouth it speaks life and death, and those who eat of its fruit. Well, the point is, God has given us that ability to speak to our situations and to declare the truth. And nothing less, to declare the truth. Oftentimes we for whatever reason, we can not look with eternal eyes, if you will, and speak death, and we know the results of that. But also, we can be full of the word and full of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the friendship, the daddy, and speak as he reveals himself through his word and through his very presence, and we begin to speak. So when it comes and the temptations comes and come and the thoughts come and these things that surround us, and they're a battle, let's be real, the battles will be here. They will not cease as long as we exist in this earth, on this earth in this body. They won't cease until Jesus comes. Let's go there, finally. And yet we are not subject to them. I'm saying we, thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, are free from the sin, the sinful nature. We're free from the lies of the enemy. And so when those things come at us, we just simply walk where we know we are. And we say, that is not who I am. That is defeated. I declare health in this body. I declare, I thank you, Lord, for health. I thank you. And the more and more attention we give to our Creator, to our Sustainer, to our Savior, the more we keep that relationship open and we're sensitive to what it means to be a friend of God, and we're sensitive to hearing him and talking. And anybody ever been around somebody? Don't look at me either. I can be up here talking and I don't have to listen. But anybody ever get with some of those people and it's like they just talk, and then you've got like 20 things you want to say, and most of them are nice, and I'm just joking. But you got like 20 things you want to say, you're like, oh, you don't get it. Oh, I want it. No chance. And then they're like, okay, see you later. And they're out of there, right? And you're like, oh, I just wanted to, right? You ever get those? I can be one of those sometimes, but that's okay. That's okay, but so I just, I don't know, just meet him out back. But no. But that's how we need to not be with our Lord. And we have a time to speak, and we have a time to listen. As many of you have heard, we have one mouth and two ears, right? Two ears, one mouth. We should do more listening than we should do talking. And allow the Lord to have his say in our lives. And to, as some have said this morning, be obedient. But know that you're free. We're free. We are free indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I don't have to walk according to the ways of my sinful nature, of my old person. He's over there. He's over there. I'm right here. He's over there. I'm moving that way, and he's trying to hang out, but it's not happening. because I am rejoicing in who I am through my daddy, my Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. Enter his, maybe I did it backwards, but enter his gates with praise. Did I do it backwards? T-H-E-I-R, T-H-I-E-R, whatever, right? The point is, I'm going to praise him. And when things are tough and challenges happen, I'm going to praise him. And when things are good and great, I'm going to praise him. And when there's temptations that are tugging on my fleshly side, I'm going to praise him. And I'm not going to say, I'm never going to do that. I will never do that. I'm just going to praise him. And I'm going to declare in my heart his word. And I'm going to walk with confidence in who he is and quit trying to do it, quit trying to pull all the punches. I'm going to rest in who he is. It's a rest. It's not a, what can I do for me today? It's a, Lord, I love you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I rejoice in who you are. Lord, I don't even know about that. I love you, and I know that your plan is greater than whatever it looks like. Because trust me, the enemy will take whatever he can, and he is the accuser of the brethren, and he will sit there day and night, and he will point his finger at you. He will point his finger at you, and he will look for every nook and cranny of some kind of something that he can. But when we're walking by the Spirit of life, the Spirit of freedom, he's got nothing to look at. He's looking, God's going, that's Jesus. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's, no, because he don't see nothing but his son's blood. He doesn't see nothing but that righteous person. Hey, Nick, you want to hook it up? Freedom is here right now, and it's available always. And I want to take the end of the service, and I want to just pray. I want to agree in prayer. I want to lift up those who, if you're one of those, you feel like you're one of those four, one of those two, one of those four, whatever, that are, you're trapped. Well, guess what? Right now is the time. You're not trapped anymore. Right now. And I can prove it because my daddy says so. You're free. I can prove it. It's that simple. How good is our God? He's bigger than your troubles. So, you guys all right to stand with me for a minute here? Thank you, Lord. So I am led to pray for those of you who want to agree. I am not the answer, but my God is. Your God is.
Yes, Lord.
And there's a freedom here now. And he wants you free now. That doesn't mean in 2 minutes there's not a freedom and he doesn't want you free. It just means right now God is saying you're free. And I'd be glad to lay my hand on you and agree with whatever it is and declare that freedom and speak it as it is and nothing else. So if that's you and you want to come up, please do. If not, I'll be up here laying my hand on myself, praying for myself. Even though I am free, and I am free indeed, and I do believe that. And I admit, I know that. I know that. But let's be free together. There's freedom in this place. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit.
there's freedom. If you're tired and you are thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and you are thirsty, there is freedom. And freedom reigns in this place. Showers mercy and grace, falling on every face. There is freedom. Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you're tired and you are thirsty, showers mercy and grace, falling on every face. There is freedom. There's freedom. dark grounds at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry,
cry, holy, holy, holy.
altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see
thank you.
Thank you, Lord. God is good. I agree with the work that God is doing in each and every one of us. I agree with the love that He is pouring through our hearts. And that He loves us, that He uses us, that He desires us. And I agree with that, Father. We say yes to You today, God. We say thank You for the ability to speak life, to literally walk in victory, to literally see things, God, as You allow us to see, and not to live by the ways of the world, but to live according to Your purposes, Father. So we speak life in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Yep. Hello. Can you hear me? Yeah. Hello? Yeah? Choir practice right now. Sorry. Please.